You know, I love Wednesday nights. We teach the Word of God, but I just love, because, you know, Sundays, it's a blessing and wonderful. We have a big crowd, and I love it. I love Sunday mornings, too, but it's just Wednesday night. Man, you had to make an effort. You had to work all day, and then show up at night. It's like, okay, you know. The only other day that's even more difficult is coming back, like, on a Sunday night after you're going home to take that nap. Then it's a challenge, but, hey, you know, and there are things. But, you know, I'm just blessed that you're here. We're blessed that you're here. We believe that God has something in store for you. Sunday, I shared a message concerning valves and doors and understanding some things we need to walk through. And, amen. Well, I, you know, I've got 7 pages of note. We got notes, and we got through 2, okay? And so anyways, I thought, you know what? I probably ought to finish. I write all these things out, put this thing here. It's really cool. And yet, you know, sometimes we never finish it out. So as I was praying today, thinking about tonight and just of what goes on, we had a lot of things going on today. Seems like Wednesday decides to be very busy. Amen. And when that happens, you know, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you a little bit more today. We got all of the asphalt poured down there, and it's 2 inches thick. And so we, for our playground area, so that we can build the racetrack on it and put the hopscotch in the four square and all that kind of wonderful stuff so the kids can ride around and have fun. So, you know, that's so they can get on their little tricycles and race each other. So we're looking to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, plus, you know, I talked to them about fixing 3 or 4 big giant potholes we had in our parking lot. They did all that for free. So that was really a blessing. I don't know if you noticed the big T coming in. There's a big line over there done, and there was all other kind of little holes that they did. So that was a real blessing along that line. They had extra stuff. So I said, well, you might as well just keep fixing things. So we walked around and did a lot of those stuff. So that was a real blessing, you know, because I was like, oh, man, we're going to have to get this fixed. And it all got done. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. And you know, so there was a lot of things that got taken place. But, you know, I talked about 3 doors. I talked about one of the things was the door of privacy. And then I talked about the door of protection, of when you go out knowing you're protected, knowing that you're walking through that you're in that place of authority, in that place of protection. But then I also talked about doors of opportunity, that everywhere we go, we need to believe God for opportunities. Amen? And if you grab a hold of that, what happens is that there's a great open door that's not only open for you, but it's also going to be effective. How many know that God said that your steps are ordered of the Lord? And one of the things that I really believe with all my heart is God's leading me from where I am to where he promised I should be. And so I'm always looking at that. You know, we were talking about some things, and she was reading some stuff and listening to other ministries and other ministers. And the struggle that seems to go through some folks, and how that after, you know, 5 years or 10 years, you know, especially with ministers and stuff, you know, being just going through the motion, it stops becoming a calling and a ministry and starts becoming a job. Amen. And, you know, as I look at that, I guess maybe I wasn't smart enough to figure that out after all that. I've just been having fun for 46 years and just allowing God to be God. Because that doesn't mean that there wasn't difficulties, there wasn't, you know, so many challenges that took place, but it was always, I just felt like it was part of what God wanted me to do, amen, and what God's hand is upon me. And I remember, I remember Pastor Hagen, who, you know, in talking to him many, many years ago and telling him about different things that went through and all this stuff, and this was probably, gosh, in the earlier, later 80s, and he looked at me and he says, you know what? You've been to hell and back 3 times. You've had more problems in your church than any church I've ever heard. And, you know, all these things. And I said, and I just looked at him. I said, well, is there something wrong with me? I said, I'm just telling you what I go through on a daily basis of what's happening, what's taking place, but it doesn't deter my faith. Amen. And it was an amazing thing that, because people look at things, you know, and he was being really sweet. He was really, really nice. He was actually sharing. He said, man, you're amazing. Most people would have quit a long time ago in the situation of where you were at, what you were doing, and who you were ministering to, and how you were dealing with things. I said, yeah, but the problem was I was having people born again all the time. you know, and God was doing great things. Yes, we were dealing with difficulties. We were, you know, I used to tell people we were running a rescue mission 3 feet from the gates of hell. Okay? Amen? And we were. But you know what? We were right smack dab in the middle of what everybody needed. We were there, and God did great. And that church is still going today. You know, I wish it was going better than it is, but thank God it's still going. Things, lives are being touched. And that's the wonderful thing about it. But, you know, one of the things that I found out about some things in looking at these doors that we talk about, especially in the area of doors of opportunity, is that God doesn't reward us, or God doesn't open other doors to us based on you know, our position, or based on what's going on around us, or how we're doing here. God opens up our doors on our faithfulness to be obedient to Him. And He always opens up doors even when we're not ready for it. Amen? He opens up doors that we're not ready for, okay? And so, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 12, because I'm going to give you the next several doors that I have here, because I want to share with you, because this is what I find about a lot of folks too, is that they get bound, and they let the circumstances of life wipe them out. Amen? Because I made a comment, and many of you wrote it down, many of you talked to me about it, you know, was this, is that we're not called to fix our old life, but we're called to live the new life in Christ, okay? And if you're always trying to fix yourself, you're in trouble. Because you can't be fixed. Only Jesus can do it. And if you got to become a new creation, he's starting all over. You say, okay, I'm so glad I don't have to fix me. We're starting all over. I'm a new creation. I'm a blank piece of paper. Let's do this. Let's handle this thing. Or let's do this stuff. And you got to realize that you're changed every time you read the Word of God. It changes you. And if it doesn't change you, it's because you haven't put the preeminence on the Bible, on the Word of God, how awesome it is. Amen? And so here in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, you know, we see something there. Because the next door I want to talk to you about is the doors of prison. And it's the thing that happens is that, you know, the Bible says prison doors are open. Why are you still sitting in the cell? Because God set the captives free. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, I've come to set the captives free. But yet we imprison ourselves. And so this is the story of Peter here being in prison. But verse 1 says, now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Amen. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I love that. I just love that he could sleep, knowing the next day he's about to get killed. Bound with two chains, and then the keepers before the door kept the prison. And then it says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up. And he tells him this, he raised him up and he says, hey, arise up quickly. And his chains just fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and he followed him. And he didn't wist not, or he didn't understand what was going on, what it was, because what was done by the angel, because he thought he was seeing a vision. He's dreaming. Thing. This is a great dream. I'm just dreaming. I'm going to get set free. This dude's, look at this. Is so, I'm going to wake up here in just a moment. And then it says, when they were past the first and second ward, and they came under the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Isn't that cool? I love this. We look at things and go, oh, how did that happen? Hey, listen, God can do anything he wants to do. This is after salvation. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. This is in our time. This is our time. Okay, this is not pre this. This is our time. It's New Testament. Okay? And he says, and they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, everybody say, come to myself. See, the only way you can escape prison doors is you got to come to yourself. You know, I used that phrase when I talked about I came to myself out on the highway after, and then all of a sudden, I mean, I just broke out in a sweat. I broke out. I mean, I was like, I was worshiping God. I was crying. I said, God, you saved me. You delivered me. In fact, not only did you do that, but you healed that person. You just totally went before. I mean, you were just awesome. And it makes for the super great testimony, you know? But the wonderful thing about it is that I didn't have anything to do with it except being obedient to yield to God. And he's the one that sustained me. He's the one that did everything. And then when I actually came to myself, I realized, glory to God, what an awesome thing that God just did. But here's the thing. Peter came to himself and he realized, hey, I'm not dreaming. I'm not having a vision. Amen. But I'm out here. I've been set free. I'm out here. He's like, hey, and when he knew this, he's like, oh my gosh, I came down. You know, he's like, oh, and then he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now we know he goes on to talk and he goes to a place where they're having prayer and they don't believe in their prayers. They're not, you know, they're like, you've seen a ghost, you've seen this, you've seen that. And, you know, we see that Peter gets out of here. But we also see, you know, when you realize that though the enemy is always trying to bind you, always trying to cause havoc. Now, these are natural things. You remember in Acts chapter 16, what about Paul and Silas? Yeah. Amen. They've been beaten because they cast the devil out of a little girl. Okay. And got her set free. And they've only had one person get saved, and that was Lydia. You know, God opened up her heart. We're going to talk about that in a little bit because of the doors that open hearts in that. But when we talk about prison doors, is that we have a tendency to put limits on God. We have a tendency to put limits upon ourselves. And we continue to keep ourselves bound because of the past. We keep ourselves bound because we can't really believe that God can actually do what he said he can do. You know, there's a thing where you got to take the lid off. Amen? You know, and we know that, hey, Paul and Silas were praying, they were singing. I mean, let's look at this. Peter's in there. He's sleeping. He's got peace. Now, I think the reason he had peace is because he said, I'm not going to die in the sense of this way. And now, if they say they're going to crucify me, I'm going to get crucified upside down. That'll be, but I'm not in Rome. I'm not doing that. And that's where he was killed, you know, and he died upside down on the cross because he said he wasn't worthy to die the same way as Jesus died. And, you know, and so that's one. You remember in John's chapter 20, Jesus told him, listen, when you're old, people are going to take you places where you don't want to go. And he was talking about his death. He's talking about, you're going to die. This is how you're going to die. And then, you know, of course, John shows up and he said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, well, what if I want him to live forever? You know, and of course, you know, and then John said, he didn't say that I was going to live forever. He said, well, what if he wanted me to live? What is that to you? You know, Jesus told you how you're going to die. And he tells the other guy he's going to live forever. That's just not fair. But there's the prison that takes place. Same thing with Paul and Silas. How many of you in the middle of being beaten, you know, your backs are bleeding, you're in stocks, you're thrown into prison, it's dark because we know that they were in there where they couldn't see anything because the Philippian jailer had to get a light to come in to see if they were still there. He thought they had all escaped after the earthquake came. He was going to kill himself and Paul gets a word of knowledge because it's all, he says, hey, don't kill yourself, don't do yourself no harm. We're all still here. Now that's another miracle. You get prisoners in there and then every door opens. It didn't just say theirs, all of their chains, everybody's chains fell off. Pretty cool, huh? It's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother thing to understand that, man, with you, when you're there and you're on scene, you've got everybody with you, just like Paul did on that ship. God's going to give you everybody. Paul and Silas here, God's opened up the doors. We're all here, okay? But they're singing and worshiping and praising God. And yet we allow the first little thing of the little opposition. Remember what I said about what Pastor Hagin said? You've been to hell and back 3 times. What are we going to do here? Amen? You know, there's a missionary that we support in very heavily. We're on their board. Okay, they just have a church in India, and they also have a Bible school in India. And the police just came in and shut everything down and arrested them and did everything, and then turned around. Then they didn't arrest them, and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to have church next week? Are we going to have the graduation of all the 17 people that are supposed to graduate? What are we going to do? Are we going to allow? And that following week, they have the graduation. They have 17 people. They have church. Because that's what we're going to do. Amen. I just got that information. And it's like, Wow. Here we go. Because here's the thing about it. People that have been there that are missionaries in that country for 30, 40 years are not allowed back in. They're crashing down. They're arrested. It's even worse than China right now. And it's like, okay, but God is God. So it's like, what are we going to do? We're going to be God. Let's do this. You know? That's why we just sent them a huge offering to do a whole bunch of more books and stuff to all of the Bible schools all across India, all across Malaysia, all across the world, because they can't stop the Word of God. You have a choice to say. You can either get bound in prison or you can be free. Even in the midst of what you're doing, it's like, hey, let's do this. Let's handle this. Here's what we're going to do. Glory to God. See, God delights. He loves to open up your heart, open up the prison doors that have kept you bound. Isn't it so wonderful when the light dawns on you and you go, oh, wow, I see it. And all of a sudden, you're free from the lies of the enemy that you've been lied to. Amen? I mean, we see this where, you know, in this scripture that's right up here, Luke 4:18. In fact, turn over there. I can just sit here and preach, so y'all just look at me, but that's good because I'm going to do it anyways, but that's okay. Just come on. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I can quote it to you, but I like you to set your eyes on it. So good. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What is he talking about? That when he says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Man, that's awesome. To preach deliverance to the captives, to let them know, listen, the prison doors are open. You've been set free. Don't hang out. Don't stay. Don't get in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we see this, you know, I mean, the disciples, they did that even in the middle. You remember that back in Acts chapter 5, they all got arrested and they all got put in prison. And then the angel come down and said, nah, you don't need to go here. Come on out and go back to preaching where you got arrested. Wow. You know, I often think to myself, and like, man, would I do that? Hey, when we got set free, let's go hide. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do this. And it's like, no. No, go back. The Spirit of God told him, go back. The angel said, go back to where you were. And, you know, when they went to go get him, they said, hey, we went to go to the jail, but they weren't there. And they said, what do you mean that we found the jail all locked up, all the doors closed, all the guards standing there, but there was nobody inside? Awesome. And then all of a sudden somebody runs up and says, hey, you know those dudes you put in jail last night? They're down here doing it. They're at that same place that you caught them last time. And so then they walk in and they're like, could you just come with us for a little bit? We want to talk to you. Amen. How many remember when Paul got beaten and then they came to him, they found out they were Romans. They said, oh, they sent him, you can tell them they can go down. Right. Paul said, are you kidding me? Nah. They beat us. We are Romans. They did it all wrong. They got to come and escort. They got to come and just take us out of here. Amen. Many times what has happened in our lives, we've allowed the lies of the enemy to say, oh, you can't do this. Oh, it's not, you know, who do you think you are? Amen. And so the enemy is always trying to bind us. See, there's natural prisons that these guys were in, but all these natural prisons are nothing compared to the spiritual prisons that so many people are held in bondage. They're held in the prisons of their minds, their thought processes. Amen? They're held in the prison of thinking that I can't do this or I can't do that. And yet you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can see the hand of God upon it. You know, I didn't know that I had done and all these different things, you know, and of what was transpiring, because I just thought I was just doing church. This is what you did. This is how, because I'd never pastored in the inner city, so I didn't know how to do it. Nobody had any handbooks on it. Nobody wanted to be there. Amen. And I'd call up and say, hey, have you ever dealt with this? And they're like, nope, nope. And I'd call people that, you know, I'd say, you ever, nope, no, that's the first. Amen. I say, listen, I got somebody who came this morning as Melissa, but they came back tonight as Charles. Because they got saved and delivered and set free and healed. Okay? All right? You know? So for 45 years, they were in this terrible lifestyle. And then for the last 8 years, they've been this person. And, you know, They came with their sweet, sweet old mom. Then she's praying and they get saved. They come back and, oh, we got a situation. So we said, well, what do you do? Well, we got a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's just a little bit more defined now. Just changes everything. Amen. Amen. You know, this different of what God is doing, just different things that are taking place. But what understanding that the enemy wants to hold you in bondage to disease. He wants to hold you in bondage to sickness. He wants you to hold you in bondage to sin, to say that you'll never be free from those thoughts. You'll never be free from who you are and who you are. You'll never be free. And that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. And you'll never enjoy the benefits of the things of God until you set yourself free. Jesus sets the captives free, but you're the one that comes to yourself and says, what did Peter have to do? He said, I'm free. So he went over to where the prayer is. He went over and said, hey, you know. He's like, I'm free. God delivered me. We don't come to ourselves many times, but we need to come to ourselves and realize the goodness, the grace, and the wonderfulness of God. Amen? And here's the thing. How many of you, if you're not getting any, get this right now. If you're watching, get this. This is a phrase I want you to get. Because when your mind is not open to the truth, when your mind is not open to the truth of God's word, your heart will be hindered in receiving what you need to set you free. When your mind is not open to the truth of God's word, your heart will be hindered from receiving what God has for you. You made a statement right in the beginning. I believe that God is taking me from where I am to where he's promised I'm supposed to be. Amen? I mean, have you ever had just said, you promised. God's like giving us all these promises. He's told, but when our mind is not open to the truth, it messes us all up. When our mind is not open to the truth of God's word, our heart will be hindered from receiving. And we know that 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world hath blinded their minds. They can't see. But as Christians, we don't need to be blind. Amen? We need to see the truth. I mean, have you ever looked at something and said, well, it's just not working. It's just, I can't get, it's because you just don't know enough. You just can't see it. You just got to keep looking at it. You got to keep looking at it. Because the word of God's right. You just got, I just don't know enough yet. I got to get it. It's going to, God, you're revealing truth to me. You're going to reveal that to me. I'm going to take hold of that. I'm going to take hold of that truth. I'm going to take hold of that truth. I'm going to take hold of what you're saying and I'm going to bring it. I'm going to take hold of that truth. That's a truth that's mine. I'm going to take hold of that truth because Jesus opens the door to our heart. He also opens the door to the hearts of everybody else. You remember because when Paul and Silas got thrown into prison, they went down to where Lydia was, to where prayer was wont to be made, and only Lydia, God opened up her heart, and she got saved, and so she said, if I found favor, why don't you come to my house? So they said, okay, you're the only one. So they go there, and then so Paul and Silas are preaching, and they've got this young girl going around saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Now that sounds very religious, sounds very good. Were they servants of the Most High God? Yes. But who wants the devil advertising for you? And Paul said, after many days, Paul turned around and he realizes this is just a spirit of divination. And he cast the devil out of this little girl. And when those that found out, okay, we don't get any more money from her. We can't use her anymore. We can't say, hey, she's this certain thing. Then that's when they rose up and threw Paul and Silas into prison. But see, the thing about it, when they first were there, the Bible says the Lord opened up Lydia's heart. Aren't you glad that God can open up your heart and open up other people's hearts for you? Amen. That's the thing about it. We've got to believe that God's going to open up the doors of people's hearts that can turn the tide. It can turn things. It can change things. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know. I can remember another missionary friend of mine. He was preaching in a country that, you know, not allowed to preach the gospel in. And he got surrounded by, guerrilla warfare and all these things, all the people around him. And it's like, okay, it looks like we're all going to die. And yet God gave him a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about the general. And the general gets healed. And he's like, cool. But before he did that, he had this boldness rise up into him and said, listen, I am a man of God. God sent me here. And if you touch me, you will die. That's pretty crazy to the guy with guys with guns. It's kind of a crazy statement to make. You're about to get killed. But then God showed him to do that. And so every time he goes to that country, he gets escorted by the whole army to preach the gospel anywhere he wants to go. Pretty cool. You know, helped out in many other crusades when you have a, you know, bulletproof thing. That's pretty cool that takes place. Why? Because God opened his heart because of the miracles. Because, but how does God open up people's hearts, or how does God open up our heart? Amen. He opens up our heart through the Word of God. God opens the doors to our heart through the Word of God. That's what opens up. That's why the Bible, the Word of God, is so vitally important in our lives. Hallelujah. But let me just share something. Remember what I just shared? If your mind is not open to the truth of God's Word, then you're going to have a real difficulty. That's why the Bible says we got to renew our minds. So in one sense, let me just understand this. If in one sense, your mind is the doorway to your heart. Remember, they talk about your eyes are the windows to your soul. But really what it is that if we do not begin to set our minds on things and then allow the Spirit of God, because your spirit's getting revelation, it's trying to make your mind be illuminated. But if your mind's closed off, you're not going to receive it. Amen? So why is that? That's why the Bible says we need to take the Word of God, renew our minds so that we can understand what God has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And also, we also know that we can either open our heart or we can close our heart to anything. You can just say, I refuse to forgive, or I refuse to allow that. I'm just going to refuse to believe it. I don't care what it says. Bible or no Bible, I'm not going to believe it. Now, I know none of you would ever say that, but I've had people say that in my lifetime and to me personally and say, well, I don't care. You know, I just don't believe it that way. I said, well, the problem is that it doesn't matter how you believe it. That's the way it is. It's called Bible. It's called what God says, you know, amen, you know. And that's the hard thing. When your mind is closed, your heart won't receive the things of God. It's really hard to believe the truth, you know. And the wonderful thing about it is God will use anybody who has a tender heart or a heart. And that's why we have to ask God to open the doors of their hearts. We got to say, God, we need you to open the doors of your heart. Because there's so many people that are bound by, well, but you don't understand. You know, this is the situation. This is where I'm at. This is what's happening. And you don't understand. I can't. No. You need to start saying you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because until you take responsibility for your own mind and your own thoughts, you're not going to succeed. See, I can talk about all the doors here and talk about, listen, if you get in with God, he's going to talk about your hard-headedness. He's going to talk about your stubbornness. He's going to talk about your self-righteousness. He is. He's going to talk to you about your pride. He's going to say, who's going to sit on the throne of your heart, me or you? Amen. But here's the thing. Once you cultivate where you're getting into the privacy, because the Bible says, when you get into the presence of God, and Psalms 91 says, and you get into that air, the secret place, you get into those things, it's not hard. It's not, you want to be there. It's not like you're going to get beat up anymore. You're not going to, but it's when you, that's why it's so hard to get to that place. Because when you first go, it's like, I need to learn. I need to talk. And this is what I need to do. And he's like, okay, we're going to give you little tidbits of what you need to check here first. And then it's like, I don't want to do that. Well, if you'll do this, then we can do this. And then they say, let's give some things. Amen? Now, I don't know if you've ever had heart-to-heart talks with someone very special. I talk about husbands and wives need to have heart-to-heart talks where they talk tough things. Where you talk about things, and if you've ever had really, truly heart-to-heart talks, there are sometimes you'll say, listen, I'm going to say something, but I don't want you to touch it. Because if you touch it, I'm going to get mad, I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get frustrated. But I got to get it out. If you don't touch it, then a little later when we talk again, we'll get a little bit more of it. Because it hurts too much, because you're going to give me a cliche answer, or you're going to give me something, and you can't do that. I mean, I was at a men's retreat. I had 50 guys from my church in Pittsburgh at a men's retreat. And I got up and said, listen, we're having this. We had a great service. I said, listen, this afternoon, I want you to go talk to God like you talk to your wife. Have a heart-to-heart talk. I mean, really, get those things, those deep things that are in you. And my head board member, who'd been married 25 years, he was at that time, he'd been married more than anybody else. And he raises his hand and he says, hey, I got a question. I said, sure. And I'm thinking, oh, man, he's just going to back me up really good. He said, I want to know how many of you ever have a heart-to-heart talk with your wife. So I've been married 25 years and I ain't never had it. And I'm like, holy cow. And the only one that raised their hand was me. I said, sit down. You guys don't get no free time. Sit down. We got to change the whole men's retreat. God bless you. I can't believe you. I couldn't. I mean, we did. And man, I tell you, that was the most supernatural. All of a sudden, guys are like, so that's what happened. That's why she was so mad at me. Lights were going on. I'm going, oh my gosh. These guys, they're brain dead. They're just brain dead. I mean, I can't. It's amazing that they're still married. It was serious. I was like, Lord, help me, Jesus. What the heck? You know, so I had to pray for them, get their eyes. But you know what? They didn't even know what it was. They didn't know how. And what it is, I mean, say, listen, these are things. These are things that hurt. Or these are things from my past. Or these are things that you know, you did that I've kind of let it go. And so you communicate those things. Say, well, I'm going to say this, but I don't want you to touch it right now, which simply means we're going to lay it out here, but don't touch it. And you want to. You want to fix it. Or you want to analyze it. And you want to tell them, well, that's just dumb, what you just said there. And that's the worst thing you can do, okay? Because when you're sharing your heart, you can't be saying something's dumb. Or you can't say, well, I can fix that. That's not going to work. You just got told don't touch it, and you just open your mouth. I don't know why we're doing that. That's a whole other avenue right there. I'm going to pick us. Anyways, hallelujah. God opens the eyes of a heart to understand the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is it so important? Because of the prison doors. Because if we don't let God open the doors of our heart, you see people who have such great potential. You see people who you know that God's got an anointing on their life. You see people or couples or just individuals, but you see that they just can't free themselves. And you're like, all you need to know is that door's open and you don't have to stay bound to the floor. You're just so used to it. You know, it's like the eagle or the hawk that was raised with the chickens and doesn't know he can fly over the fence. He doesn't know that he can soar. Why? Because in his mindset, he's a chicken. That's right. Amen? And see what happens when you don't open the prison, the doors of saying, no, wait a minute. No. It's not me to fix my old life. It's me to walk in newness of life. Walk as a new creature in Christ. So God, you're opening up doors here. I don't have to be bound anymore. I don't have to be tormented anymore. You know? Now, I don't know about you, but what happens is, for me, you know, I was raised in a denominational church, and so I was raised, they didn't tell us about authority, they didn't tell us how to combat anything, but they did give me Jesus, and I praise God for that. I mean, I thank God, I really thank God for the way I was raised, because the number one thing that they said is, this is the word of God, and if it's in here, you can believe it. The problem is that they only read parts of it, and I read it cover to cover. As a high school student. And I read it, and I started reading all this stuff back here in the epistles, and it got sent to the pastor's office all the time. So it was cool, because he was a great guy. He didn't know a lot of things, and in one sense, he wasn't trying to, but he would just, you know, he let me just, I just quote scriptures, read to him. He'd say, well, here's kind of the way that we believe in our denomination. That's kind of, but he was as sweet and as nice. You know, he left when I was in seventh grade, and it was so difficult, but I was playing basketball in Ripon, California at the time, and all of a sudden, I went there playing basketball, and they said, hey, there's this old guy out here that wants to see you. He's an old guy, and he said, you know, I'm like, old guy. And I walk out, and it's my pastor that hadn't seen, you know, I'm like seventh or eighth grade. I think it was in eighth grade at that time. And it was him. And I mean, I just ran up and gave him a great big hug. Because I was like, oh, man, because he had retired. But he was so proud. And he remembered me. I mean, that's pretty crazy for him to remember me. But yet, if you're in his office all the time, you get remembered. You know? And I love that about my parents, too, because they didn't turn around and say, hey, you know, stop that. No, that's not. They always just said, well, you know, we don't really go over there. We don't really look at that. We don't really do that. I said, yeah, but it's in here. And you said that this is infallible. You said this is the word of God. And you said everything in here is true. And they said, yeah, but we don't understand it. I said, well, I'm going to figure out how to understand it. Because you guys are telling me, don't do this, don't do that, I can't. And over here it says, woo, we can have fun. Over here it says, we can do some things. Over here it says, we're supposed to have some joy and some peace. Over here it says, there's supposed to be some good things, not just bad. I mean, we're all bound up here. Right? We're all bound. They're all frustrated. And I'm like, no, I'm going to let the word of God open my eyes to see. Open my ears to hear. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the word of God unveil it, unfold, and reveal to me what God wants to say. Amen. So it was really easy when I caught a hold of the word of faith, when I caught a hold of, all of a sudden, this was scripture, this is God speaking to you. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then the rest is history. I've been crazy ever since. So it's okay, you know, because why does God want you to be, do the door of privacy, do understand the door of protection, understand doors of opportunity, walk free from the doors of prison that are trying to hold you here, and open the doors of your heart, because he wants to get you to the place where he can use you to touch lives. Amen. That you're no longer carnal, that you're no longer babies. Amen. I mean, that's what he told the Corinthian church over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I want to talk to you as spiritual, but I can't. I got to talk to you as unto babes because you're carnal. Amen? Mere men. Then he goes over in Romans chapter 5, right before there, and he says, man, I want to share this, but you guys should be teachers by now. You should be doing this, but now you still have to have, I have to give you milk so that you can do things. You can't do it. It's like, come on. Amen? We see some things that take place, and yet God wants us to get to the place where when he opens the door of utterance, when he opens the door of service, that we walk through it. Someone says, I'm not qualified. Welcome to the club. I don't know if I can do this. Well, praise God. Guess what? You can't, but with God you can, and it's always with faith. You see, God doesn't ever call you to do things you can do. You can just do that. He says, do it. But when he begins to open up doors, he says, well, that's just too big. No, you just step in and say, okay, God, you're going to have to help me here. He wants you to give open doors of service and open doors of utterance. That's why he told Timothy, don't despise your youth. That's why in Job, you know, the guy was watching all these other three guys just mouth off. And he says, well, I was young. I thought you guys would have some sense, but now I know you ain't got no sense. So I'm going to say something. Okay? Amen? And when we're obedient to walk through those doors that God's opened, because he has that, you know, and that's what he told me about the whole thing for Sunday and everything. And just, you know, God's just really stirring my heart. He said, listen, you need to come alive. You need to be alive. You need to stay alive. And there's open doors. And the reason being is you got to be ready. You got to be ready when it happens. And here's the thing. You don't have to get ready to be anointed. You're already anointed. You've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when it talks about, he says, he who has anointed us is God. God's already in us. I'm not looking to get anointed. Yes, you can have more of the presence of God. Yes, you can have a stronger anointing. But you're already anointed as a child of God. And if you'll live ready and understand the opportunities God has, it'll set you free. And then if you take off the prison glasses, if you'll take off these prison doors, if you'll take off the thought process that, wow, oh, I've never done that. Well, but God wants to take you to places that you've never done. He wants to take you to places where you've never been. That's why he deals with your character. I mean, I heard an old minister say this one time, and it really helped me immensely. He said, listen, you need to understand, God wants to take you to places where your character can't keep you, so you better deal with your character. He said, you take care of you, and God will make sure that what's going on here. And then here's the other aspect of what happens is that we look at ourselves and say, well, where do I start? Well, you start in the door of privacy of you and God having a personal relationship with him. That's where you start. But when it comes to service and things like that, God could care less where you start, just as long as you start. Amen? He really doesn't. coming, because God's going to open up everything. He wants to bless you abundantly, just as long as you're doing his will. I've seen God take people that are totally unqualified, don't know a lick about the word of God, but just have a heart's desire to serve and to be, and God is just. I had a friend, he was operating the store next door. I'm working for Fred Taylor Furniture, okay? I'm going to Bible school and everything, and I'm talking to him and talking to the guy that owned Fred Taylor Furniture too, but his name was Gary, and I forget his last name, but anyways, and so they were friends because this other guy was older, the two store owners, you know, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden he's like, he gets all excited about God, and I'm like, well, you know what? Praise God, if you want to learn more, just apply. He goes to Rhema the next year, okay? Gets to do it, and he has this heart for God. Now, granted, he's older, he's, you know, established, but boom, all of a sudden, bam, bam, boom, he's the associate minister of a 10,000 member church in a year. That's some serious problems right there. But God anointed him. God blessed him, because he was an incredible businessman, but he was also a incredible heart of God to minister the word of God. Right there. I mean, and it was, he didn't have to go anywhere. He was right there. It was boom. I was like, this is pretty crazy. This is pretty crazy. And I talked to him. He said, yeah. He said, I'm way out of my league. He said, I'm way out. He said, but God. I said, you know what? It's God. Look at God's done. He said, you know, yes, he had a year of Bible school underneath him, which was really good. But as far as knowing, he went from not knowing anything about church, and 1 year later, you see, isn't that like putting a novice in? Well, it all depends on the heart of the person. Because here's a guy that was dealing with people all the time. He had his own business, had his own, and it was a public business where dealing with things. And he's there, you know, very personable guy, really great guy. I mean, really great guy. Yeah, he's still a really great guy. Amazing, huh? Yeah. And then we got guys who've been floundering for years. Like, well, I don't understand. I don't either, except you're still either bound in your prison doors or you're hopelessly unfaithful. Amen. That's why you take responsibility for your own self to hear from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. You've got to be responsible to open up your own mind to hear the truth. Amen. And to receive. And you got to do your own decision about that. You know. And then here's the third thing is you got to act on the truth. Amen. I always tell people, I always teach you what I know and then let you do your own thinking about it. I never teach you what I think. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what I think about it. It only matters what God says about it. So I want to teach you what I know. I want to teach you things that will help you, that will cause you to grow. Because God's going to reward faithfulness. God's going to do things. And God won't put immaturity into places. He won't do that. He won't beat anybody up. He won't do that because he knows better than that, because he doesn't want you to get lifted up and then fall and crash. Because I've seen that too. I've seen that where, and I usually see that when an athlete or somebody who's very prominent gets saved, and then everybody puts him out there so they can kind of market him so they can draw all the crowds. And they make him be this great big spiritual person, and it's like he's about to crash. And they all crash. And then some can recover, some can't, only because, and it's not their fault. It's those that are around him that have exploited him. Amen, it is, you know. And you're like, that's not fair. It's not fair. That's not fair. That's why as a pastor, you got to know those that labor among you. You got to know those around, and you got to allow the things of God. And, you know, it's another side of that coin is, and I don't know why we're going this route, but another side of that coin is people say, well, they're just stopping me. They're not receiving my gift. They're not receiving my minute. They're not receiving my stuff. They just don't know how great I am. It's like, you know what? The problem is you think you're more greatly than you are. You're thinking a little more highly of yourself than you ought to. Because if God's doing it, then you're not upset about it if they don't let you sing, if they don't let you do this, if they, you're just like, glory to God, I just want to be a blessing to God. I want to help. Amen? You know, they're not letting me do this. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to be obedient to do what God says do. I'm going to do this because another great door, and we got 5 minutes. We didn't get to the rest of them here. But we did get to, we're almost on, we're starting at the top of page 5. We got 3 and 4 done. Okay? Hallelujah. It's like, you know, I was talking to Steve the other morning. He says, you got like 5. I said, yeah, no, I got 17 pages of notes, but I only get through 1 or 2 every time. And then they just sit there, you know, but I always study like there's no Holy Ghost, but then I minister like ain't nothing but him. So, you know, and I learn when I do that. But one of the other great doors that he has, and this one actually is the big door that encompasses everything else, and that is, man, that God has given you this incredible door that you can run to. Amen? You know? That is that door of prayer, that door of fellowship that he has. Even though you're there in the privacy of things, getting things, it's that no matter what, no matter what, I can go to God any time. I can run to the throne room of heaven, amen, and obtain help in time of need. I can obtain mercy, amen. I mean, that's what God said. God says we can go there any time that we need to. And so we need it. And thank God we can pray. Thank God we can get up. Thank God we can do. And no matter what, at the very breath of heaven, we can worship God. We can get into his presence. That's what the joy of it. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was such an amazing thing because I was always, you know, like I said, growing up, God was God. And if you don't do right, he's going to make you a greasy spot right there in the carpet. I mean, God's going to smash you. You're going to have something bad happen to you. This is going to happen. So everything, you know, I just thought God was doing everything. We had no devil. We just had God and we had a mean God. You know, God, I mean, they preached hell hot, so you wore out your rededicator. You know what that means? Somebody said, I don't even know what that means. It means you come and you rededicate your life one more time. I'm going to rededicate. Because, you know, you sinned all week, and they just preach it under you. Oh, God, I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I want to be saved. I love you. You know, and because I just didn't know. So you get kind of tired. You kind of feel like, man, I keep messing up. I keep messing up. I keep messing up. But, boy, when I found out that I had forgiveness, and I found out 1 John, you know, 1:9, when I found out I could go to God, when I found out what the Word of God, when I found out that God was not a taskmaster. He wasn't like in Pharaoh and all these people, they would be. He wasn't going to give me to tell me to make bricks without straw. He was going to give me everything I needed to do it. He was going to lead me. He was going to guide that he loved me. Amen? Amen. That he cared. Hallelujah. It's such an amazing thing. It's like, wow, God cares. God loves. He's awesome. Amen? And there's and when I found out there was an enemy arrayed against me, oh man, when I found out I get to fight, that changed my life. I said, okay, Mr. Devil, you've been beating me up for 18 years, 19, yes and no. Because see, I had always had this vision. You know, he just tormented me. He said, you're going to be dead before you're 21. You're going to be dead before. I always have vision. Because I had a real vision about people going to hell when I was like 12. And I had a real vision of preaching to God and all this thing. But I just thought, oh, that's crazy. That was a crazy thing to see and do because I saw all my friends not making heaven. So I went out and shared the gospel with all of them. And, you know, all of them didn't want to receive. They didn't want to hear. They wanted to do their own things. But I had this great fear and this great torment that was going to happen. And he just tormented me. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost at 18, man, that was the first thing I did. When that thing came, I said, guess what? Guess what I found out? You're a liar. Guess what I found out? Because the minute that I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I got called. I knew exactly where I was going, knew exactly what I was going to do. Bam. And I've been doing it ever since. And the devil said, oops. I said, yeah, I'm not going to die. I am going to live and declare the words of God. I am going to do this. Here's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I recognize my value to God and to whoever I come and come. And Lord, just make me a servant. Lord, help me be a blessing to those that are around. Hallelujah. You know, glory to God. And I've endeavored to do that my whole entire life. It's like, okay, I'm going to judge myself so that I won't be judged. Amen? And I'm going to walk in love and I'm going to allow God to be God. But I'm going to walk through all of these doors because I knew I needed to. I needed him because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. Amen? And yet, you know, I've been accused of, being this very strong person and very self-confident and all of this. And the key is that I am very self-confident in the sense that I know who I am in Christ. And so I do believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we have this wonderful saying around here, that I'm not afraid to break it, that's why I'm not afraid to do it. I tell Greg all the time, if the computer's not working, I'm just going to throw it out in the parking lot. We're going to get a new one, but we're going to fix it if it doesn't work, you know. And then he always gets it fixed because he doesn't, you know, he's trying to keep his job, so it's good. But, you know, the other thing is that I'm not afraid to try. And that's what I'm trying to share with you guys. Don't be afraid not to try, because if you feel like there's doors that are being closed, nobody can close the doors on you. God opens doors that no man can close. God will close doors that no man can open, okay? And you need to realize, you need to say, okay, where this at? What do I need to do to unlock this that's in my life? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for just sharing our hearts tonight, sharing truths from the Word of God. I just trust this as a blessing. Trust that it ministers words of life to each and everyone. Lord, because we want all that you have. I'm sorry, I'm like the little kid. I want it all. I want everything. I do not want to get there and you say, you know what, you should have had this. No, I want you to say, whoa, you grabbed it all, man. You got it all. Well done. Come on. You did. You just kept pushing it. I want to be like the angels told Daniel. They said, oh, Daniel, man of desire. Oh, Daniel, man of desire. Yes, Lord, I desire. I desire. I desire all that you have. All that Harvest Bible Church needs. I desire to receive it all and to do all that you've called us to do. Lord, I believe that with all of my heart. And so I love you and praise you and thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God's good. Amen.